Now I'm going to go over the sequencing of what's left so that everyone has a heads up. So what we wanted to do, and we're going to kind of mix the status reports and discussion items with number 6 and number 10 in this overall remainder. So, okay. So we're going to take number 10 first. All right? Number 10 is first, and then number 20. 20 will come next. And then 17 is going to be third. Number 18 will be fourth. Number 19 is going to be fifth. And then number 6 is going to fall towards the bottom of those items. So you can...
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Chair Young?
Yeah. First item is going to be agenda item 10. After agenda item 10, we're going to do agenda item 20.
20?
After agenda item 20, we're going to do agenda items 13. 17. I'm looking at number 3 next to it. 17, 18, and 19 in that order. And then number 6 is going to fall last. And that's simply because we think we're going to have a lot of discussion on number 6, and we think we can get more of these other items out of the way and kind of clear the calendar for that. So that's why we're doing it that way. All right. So let's resume, and we'll do item number 10 right now. Hi, Katie.
Hi. So briefly, I'll go over. We did receive a couple questions from the board, and I will go over what changes to the permit are a result of those questions. Hopefully the Elmo. And actually, I could have a preference. I like this change. The State Board template has a sentence which is shown in strike out there. I neglected to catch it in the draft, but I think the language added here in red line strike out is much clearer. It's consistent with other permits we've adopted within the region. So I propose that change. Basically, the question was, some of the receiving water limitations are positive in nature and some are negative. In other words, some say water shall, in other words, they say shall not, and that existing sentence was not quite clear given the nature of the limitations as they are below. And I think the rewording proposed here is much clearer. Next change is... That change, previous change, was on page 5 of the permit, draft permit. Next changes are simply for consistency in the receiving water limitations section. This is pages 7 and 8. And basically, to be consistent throughout the limitations section, we refer to those as waters rather than emphasizing in one area that it's receiving waters and not in others. The whole section is just for receiving waters. And finally, there's a couple other changes that, since we're pulled, I'm going to take the opportunity to clarify. On page E7 in table E4, it's referenced earlier in the document correctly. It's a 4-day test, not a 7-day test, so it's just correcting that. On page E13, I believe it's table E8. I don't have the table itself is E8. There's one reference for the NPDES monitoring report, recycled water. That should reference table E6, not E5. And finally, a typo correction. That should be biennial, not biannual. So there were a couple other questions which I think merit a more narrative response. There was a question regarding fracking and whether this facility fracks. or has fracking fluids as part of the treatment process? And the answer is no. The discharger is here, and they can respond to that a little bit more broadly if you want. The other question was with regards to flooding for Pismo Creek and whether or not that's addressed within this permit. The answer is no. The flooding issues that would happen at Pismo Creek are not addressed within this permit. However, the discharger does have to address flooding and their discharge through the conditional use permit with the county. And the discharger is here and can speak more about that. But basically, they were required as a condition of that permit to put in a downstream monitoring station that alarms back to their facility, to the wastewater treatment process unit automatically, and it shows up on their operator screens as an alarm, and they will shut down their discharge when that triggers. The level within the creek was set with consultation from the county and the city of Pismo Beach. It's less than the 100-year flood, and so they will cease their discharges when that alarm triggers, and so it is addressed within other permits. If there's any other questions?
Okay, Dr. Wolf.
In regard to that, there has been no in-stream flow study performed on that creek, and that's a fact because Fisheries and Wildlife has just awarded a grant to perform an in-stream flow study. So the data points that are currently used are a guess at this time. Because there has been no stream gauge installed on that creek up to now. So there was some samples that were performed by the RCDs on that stream, but there hasn't really been a long-term measurement. I'll remind also that in less than the last 10 years at El Nino event, that the lower areas of the city of Pismo flooded. In fact, the campgrounds area flooded. And there is downstream a water treatment plant, which is a 1.1 million gallon treatment plant operated by the city of Pismo. So there is a vulnerable location there, and I think we need to still, you know, we can say, well, that's another agency concern, but there is the unintended consequence here of discharging over 750,000 gallons, and you know, that shows some concerns to me. You know, we may say, well, that's not the purview of a Regional Water Quality Control Board in the permit, but you know, I think this issue still needs to be brought up to the county if it is indeed the county concern. And the city of Pismo does not have the you know, technical know-how to address in-stream flow studies. So that would be one observation, one comment. My other question is how long these recycled water RO system is going to be in place, because I'm well aware that currently the same owners are looking for a phase 5, which is a significant expansion of their oil wells. That's being discussed as we speak. The purpose for these water extraction is to also accelerate production of these wells, and they have a finite life. So how many years are we looking? 20 years, 25 years of operation?
I'll probably defer to the discharger for a response to that question. And here today we have Mr. David Rose from Freeport McMoRan.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Commissioners, again, my name is David Rose. I'm the Environmental Health and Safety Manager for Freeport McMoRan. To address your question about the length of time or the duration expected, the plant life can go on as long as we maintain it, much like bridges or airplanes can continue with proper maintenance. But I believe the stated life is about 15 years. It's a normal kind of nameplate life.
I guess I'll rephrase my question. It is not what is the life expectancy of your RO plant, but you do have projections of how many more years you'll be able to, in an economically sustainable fashion, operate this facility. You're going through a major upgrades and increase of oil production. So you must have some idea of how many more years you're going to be able to extract oil from these fields. I mean, it's not in perpetuity, obviously. So are we talking one decade, 2 decades?
Right. The issue of life duration for an oil field is rather complex. It's based on economics of the oil price, our expenses, our costs, and with forecasts that make all these assumptions, we run through these forecasts internally. At this point, I can't tell you a life expectancy. We don't have that information. Mm-hmm. We run the oil field as long as we can, as long as it's economic. We maintain it, we stay in compliance, and we intend to do that for as long as we can and continue to operate. It's a viable economic operation at this time. And you mentioned our planned development that's in the county right now. It's our Phase 5 development plan. It's a 10-year plan. It would continue the development of the oil field in the future as it has been developed in the past. So it just projects forward, much like it's been going on for, don't quote me, but I think almost 100 years now at that oil field. So I'm sorry I can't give you a more definitive answer, but the answer is undefined.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate your clarification. And I have one more question for staff. In the language, we're talking about beneficial use of the water and beneficial use for aquatic habitat and for agriculture. So right now, the beneficial use is basically aquatic because water is discharged in the creek. And it's actually pretty close to the ocean, so there's not a whole lot of opportunity for groundwater basin recharge. You know, we hear increasingly, and this was discussed earlier with our state board liaison, you know, concerns over beneficial use of recycled water, groundwater basin depletion, et cetera. So my question is, under the current language of these revision, can these water be redirected for specific agriculture use? Or are we locking ourselves in saying, no, no, it's going in the creek, you can't change that?
No, it can absolutely, with this permit, be reused. They are not locked into just a stream discharge.
Okay, so if hypothetically there was some interested party to use some of these recycled water for agriculture use in groundwater basin recharge, this, of course, with proper, you know, additional permitting application, but this would be allowable under the current structure of the permit?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other board questions? Mr. Johnston.
Yes, I have a couple questions. This 830,000 gallons a day that's being discharged, I was trying to understand the operation, and I'm not really an oil guy. Is this water that is essentially pumped down to push the oil up, or is this water that's simply being separated from oil that's being pumped?
I'll probably leave it to who has a preference on how I answer that. I'll leave that to David.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, the water that's being discharged is produced water that comes up under the normal production of oil and gas. Typically, you get a lot of water. So that's the water that's going to the creek after it's, obviously, after it's treated through the system.
Thank you.
Dr. Hunter.
One follow-up, Mr. Rose. Excuse me. One follow-up, Mr. Rose. So in the process of extracting the oil, what you're saying is that the water that is a product, byproduct of this is water that is, you're tapping into the groundwater, and it is coming up as part of the pumping. It's not something that you're injecting and then pushing through your system as part of the extraction process.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, the water that is going to the creek is taken from the production stream. There's no groundwater. The production stream comes from the oil and gas reservoir, which is separate from any groundwater sources and protected from groundwater sources. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
No, in a way, I'm just trying to understand the integration of water and oil in these oil fields. So you're saying that a naturally occurring constituent of the oil field is some level of water.
That's correct.
That will then come up. And that water contains what? You're treating it for what?
It's brine water. We have a primary system that separates the oil from the water. Mm-hmm. So then the water off of that system that's going into the front side of this plant we're talking about has trace amounts of oil, some suspended solids, and other contaminants. So those are all treated for. There's inorganics and organics, phenols, ammonia, what have you. There's some treatment chemicals that are used in the operation that are normal and typical. Mm-hmm. They've been studied, oxygen scavengers, corrosion inhibitors, scale inhibitors, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they're all taken out in the plant.
Okay. And then just one last question. You started operation in March of 2013 with this particular facility, and prior to that you were not treating water on the site, or what has basically changed? Is this an increase in the discharge level to the creek?
Good question. Yeah, prior to the discharges, the water was all injected back into the formation, deep well injection.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So why was the change made then in the design of the facility and the process?
Yeah, that's another question that I'll try to give you a sense of. I'm not a production engineer,
okay.
But there are limitations on how much we can inject back into the formation. It affects our production. And it's just a better operation. It provides for better oil production and increases in production when we can get the water out of the system and keep it out of the system.
So is there any interest, following Dr. Wolf's line of questioning about recycled use, is there any interest, or do you foresee a point at which this facility would shift or transition into recycled application?
Let me say nothing is off the table. We don't currently have an active interest in that or an active study going on that. We have had some discussions with some parties about the possibility. We're not closed to the whole idea. Mm-hmm. It needs our conditional use permit anticipated the potential for that and provided for additional permitting that would be required.
Okay.
So does that...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Bruce.
I have a follow-up question for staff, hearing all the conversation of the other board members. When I read this, if the water is clean and it's been treated, so I assume that's true, in these dry times with these dry creeks, when I read this, I thought of it as a benefit. You take the water out of the oil, not out of the groundwater. You discharge it into a creek that's thirsty for water. Isn't that an overall good thing?
It is. In fact, that's the basis of this permit. This type of industry generally has a prohibition against an NPDES discharge, and when this permit was originally adopted, they had to seek an exemption for that prohibition, and the exemption is based on creek benefit. The hardship in recycled water projects is that the greatest demand for the creek's benefit is during the dry summer months. That also happens to be the greatest demand to divert effluent discharges over to a recycled water time frame. So if there was a way we could reverse the supply and demand seasonally, we'd all be better off. But San Luis Obispo Creek is in the same condition as Pismo Creek. Is the best time to discharge to the creek is during the summer. However, the best time to reuse the water is during the summer. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries.
Yes, I have a question. It's dealing with maintenance. And I see there's no information in here about maintenance. My main concern is, do you have a backup power supply to operate these facilities? Do you have an alarming system? And do you have an operator 24/7?
As far as backup power, I'm going to say I'm not 100% sure, but we normally have backup power on all of our fields where we have critical plants like this. So I'm going to have to say we do. Okay, we have some staff people here as well. We do have backup power. The staffing, you mentioned
well,
a question about the hours.
Do you have a central alarming facilities that is monitored 24/7 by a person?
Yes.
Or does it remotely alarm someplace else?
There are a minimum of two operators on 24 hours a day at the plant location. And there's an alarm system that's audible in the in the facility.
Thank you.
I just want
okay.
Add one thing to that. I did get a chance to tour this prior to their discharge beginning in March when they were finalizing the construction, and it is really quite a state-of-the-art facility. The alarm system that they have, you just triggered my memory, but it is quite a robust system. So just add that.
I have one follow-up question to that.
Yes.
How often is that tested?
That would be in their operations and procedures. I'm not certain of that. At this time, I don't know. I can find out. Well,
the reason I ask that, because we've had previous facilities that have alarm systems, been sitting there for maybe a number of years, and all of a sudden they have a hiccup and they have a problem, but the alarm fails to register simply because nobody has tested that alarm for a long period of time. So what good is alarm if you don't know if it's going to work? So my question, I know this is a reissue, but I'm just looking and trying to prohibit discharges that are not necessary and discharges that can cause problems to the environment. So do they have an engineer that can tell me how often do they have routine tests on these? Is it monthly, semi-yearly, yearly, every 100 years? What is it?
You know, Russ, let me suggest this because I think we're getting a little far from this. But your question is a good question, but I think we should maybe take this up in the context of what are kind of standard provisions that we want to see in these permits where certain, you know, testing needs to take place, code revisions, updating code when it comes to electrical components and things of that nature, you know, flood safety of infrastructure, because that was the issue we had with, you know, South San Luis Obispo County.
Well, I was kind of referring to some of that.
But, yeah.
But this is a reissue, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
And I think, as a board member, as a responsible person to our constituency, if somebody asked me the question, I would want to assure them, yes, they're doing everything possible, and I think either the answer is yes or no. Do they test them? And I'm sure they have a qualified person here that can answer that question.
I think I have a volunteer.
I'm sorry to be so persistent, but I think it's important.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do daily inspections of the alarm systems, and we're also regulated by CAL FIRE, who comes out annually to test the alarm systems.
Thank you.
Okay.
It is also a part of our annual inspections. It is something I highlight quite a bit. I currently am working on several facilities with issues in particular with regards to not just whether or not the alarm system fails, but also the human structure behind the call-outs and the responses. So I am sensitive to that concern.
Okay. And we need identification on the lady that just spoke.
That was Michelle Gibbs.
Michelle, last name?
Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S.
Okay.
With also with Freeport.
Okay. Any other board questions on this item?
Yes.
Quickly.
Page 2 of the staff report at the bottom mentions that based on use for ag and wildlife, we want to make this variance basically to let them discharge this treated water into the creek, right?
Correct.
So my brief question is, what is the benefit to ag, and are there optional benefits that we could try to for now or in the future to use this water most beneficially or more beneficially?
The benefits would be offsetting groundwater or surface water uses and allowing those to be used to their highest potential, which is typically drinking water. And so this water could offset that use.
Are there options now or in the future to put this water to even higher beneficial use for ag or riparian?
It could potentially. There isn't anything on the table currently. One of the advantages of this particular stream is that it's not a sanitary system, so it doesn't have human waste involved in it, which could potentially interest other types of uses.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We have a recommendation before us. Thank you, by the way, Katie and Mr. Rose. The recommendation by staff is to adopt Order R3-2013-0029 as proposed and as amended.
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion. Do I need a second?
I will second.
Monica seconds it. All those in favor of the motion,
aye.
Say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.